By the way, I really want to also thank you for your presence here with us today. You had many options today of things to do in this valley. We have some people who are working at Strawberry Days, and they're busy serving the community right now this morning. We have several families who chose to go down to the God Rally with, 10,000 people to be part of a great family of God down there in Rifle. So we have folks down there having a good time. And we have four guys in Haiti this morning. I hope you've been praying for them. We received word on Friday that things were very, very good. They were healthy and they had their projects, and it was way too hot and humid, and it was an amazing experience, and it brought back a flood of memories for me, having been there, I think, three times, and to see the church up there in the hills. They say mountains, it's just hills, and the church, the Mountain View Church of Toman, is meeting this morning, and our four guys are ministering to them even as we are here. Isn't that great? Wonderful to see the building, to see the church, which is people, worshiping together. And so we'll be anxious to hear of their return in a few days and find out all that happened. But be praying for them, please, in every way. I have never witnessed slavery. I have read about it a number of times in Civil War novels, biographies. I've seen a few movies. I've watched several documentaries depicting the cruelty of slavery, but I've never witnessed it, and I'm glad I haven't. As a primary focus, I believe, of the Civil War, that issue was tragic. But this morning, I would like to show you from Scripture another tragic development among Christians who choose to live as slaves. Even though our emancipator, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, has ultimately paid the price to overthrow slavery, many Christians act as though they're still held in bondage. And Satan loves it. In fact, he is absolutely delighted this morning in our continual struggle, even though he knows that we have been liberated from his control by the power and the grace of God. You brought a Bible, will you turn with me to Romans? Romans chapter 3 and find verse 9. We're going to look at 3 and chapter 6. And listen, as I read these important verses from Paul's letter to the Roman believers scattered all over, I find in here a number of beautiful analogies regarding slavery in a way that most of us have not thought about this morning. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is no one who seeks for God. All have turned aside together and have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because of the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his own sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Paul is describing something out of the Old Testament that God has said about himself and about us and about sin. It strikes many people as pretty cruel for God to say, there is no one who is righteous, there's no one that does good, there's no one this, no one that. And really what our Father in heaven is describing is that in our human nature, in our old sinful nature, that is exactly what we are all about. Deep down inside, there's evil. Deep down inside, there's a nature that does wrong. That's what he's saying. And I see several analogies in this passage and a few verses to come about slavery. The first one is rather grim. All of us are born as slaves to sin. That's what he's saying. All of us are born as slaves to sin. You wonder how bad? Well, no one is really righteous. There are no really true achievements, no spiritual understanding. Frankly, there's no innocence, no lasting peace, and no hope just in ourselves alone. And on top of that, we are unable to do anything about it because we are slaves to a sin nature. We are slaves to sin. According to God, a lost person, that is a person without God himself in his or her life, is a slave to sin and knows nothing about the liberty of God's grace. Now, the second analogy is really a great one. He says, a day comes when by God's grace we can be set free. There came a day in my life, and in the lives of most of you here with us this morning, that, if you please, an eternal proclamation was declared, and we were miraculously set free of that by God himself. Look at verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. I love that. There is no distinction. Two words. No distinction. To qualify for God's freedom, you don't have to be born in a certain country and speak a certain language. Your skin doesn't have to be a certain color. You don't have to be educated or cultured. You don't have to make a certain amount of money. No, sir, there is no distinction. Why? Because we were all slaves. Slaves of sin. The next verse, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we can all be saved, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Let me try and picture it this way for you. Jesus came to earth and saw every one of us on the slave block. Got it kind of pictured with the old movies you've seen of slavery? Jesus came and saw that every one of us were on that slave block, lost and spiritually useless and unable to do anything about our plight. We cannot escape from bondage, but moved by compassion and prompted by grace, Jesus paid the price to get us off that stand and free at last. And by doing so, he said, in effect, you don't have to live under your former master any longer. You're free. Dave, you're free. Free to serve me and love me the rest of your life. See, before Christ, we were all hopelessly lost in our sin nature and chained to this slave block. And by redeeming us, Jesus set us free. When God the Father raised him from the dead and triumphed over Satan, those who accept this gift from God by faith, it's a gift of grace, are no longer to be slaves of sin again. And all who believe in Jesus know that truth and have eternal life in him. How could it be that slaves of sin could could be in such wonderful standing before God? Well, it's our marvelous theme word the last few Sundays, grace. It's all grace. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. It's all God's grace. Now, looking at these verses, if the first analogy was grim and the second one is great, then I tell you the third analogy is tragic, and that is that many Christians still live as though they're slaves to sin. As a result of choosing to ignore the freedom that Christ has won for his own, many of us still live with a sin-oriented mentality and are defeated this morning and are defeated every single day of the last week because we believe we're still slaves to sin. And it comes out in words like, you know, I just can't help myself. That's just the way I am. I'm really not worth much. I'm way too human. And instead of living above the constant references to failure and inadequacy and shame, Christians too often resemble frightened and unsure slaves still chained. We rationalize our way around the sin. We act hypocritically. And then I think we often shrug it all off by saying, well, nobody's perfect. And in effect, we're saying we have no power. We have no ability to conquer that thing. Sin still overpowers us and we're ashamed. We just cannot help it. We think that's nonsense according to God. According to Paul's letter to the Romans, when will we start living like we're free? God says to every one of us, where sin abounded, grace abounds even more. You were slaves, but you're no longer need to live that way anymore. Grace empowers our ability to conquer sin. And are you ready for a shocker? Once we truly grasp the freedom that grace brings, we can actually spend some periods of time without sinning or being ashamed. Yes, we can, and why not? Why should sin constantly be a mastery over us? It's unbiblical. It seems to me, and I'm living this with you every step of the way, that many of us believe that we're so programmed to sin that we're waiting it for it to happen. And maybe many of us have been better trained to expect and handle our sin than we are to expect and enjoy our freedom. And the shame and the guilt this brings is enormous in our lives if we were honest before God this morning. He knows we live that way. We live like slaves to sin. And it isn't long before it's controlling everything in our lives. And we go to bed with a long list every night of things we feel bad about. And try to talk about it and get over it and move on and wake up in the morning and there's another list. There's more things on our minds. We keep thinking of this and keep thinking of that. And then we're worried about the things that we maybe forgot about that are still there. What in the world has happened to grace, believer, and power of the Holy Spirit? If we're free in Christ, as Paul says we are in here, and it is the result of his grace, then come on, God says, I want you to live in it. I want you to have that power and enjoy that power, and trust me for the ability. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. And yet we still live that way. Now, believe this, your old master doesn't want you to think like that. Your old master doesn't want you waking up in the morning and thinking good thoughts like that. He wants you to remain a slave, and like a cruel slave owner, he wants you to think you gotta take a beating every once in a while in order to stay in line. That's what the enemy wants. Listen, that's heresy. Based on this scripture, that is heresy, because our Savior has set us free. That old master, that supreme grace killer, has no right whatsoever to whip at your back again. Those days of control are over. You're free. To prove it, go a couple of pages to chapter 6. And some of you even know this by heart, and you know exactly where Paul is heading with this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? How silly. To keep on sinning so that we can, well, show more grace tomorrow and the next day and every morning. No, Paul says, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, here it is, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Are we going to have a sin problem? Are we going to struggle? Absolutely. It's always before us every single day. I know that. But God says, David, doesn't have to be mastering you. It doesn't have to be controlling you. Don't be so quick to just say, it's the way I am. I can't seem to change. Nothing ever changes. I still get wrapped up in that junk, and I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry again. I can't seem to do it. Stop and claim the power of God over that. Go before him and say, I want to be freed. I don't want to be a slave to that any longer. God, you promised I could be out of that. I don't have to be a slave. I can choose to be a slave of yours. I think chapter 6 just might be the Christian's emancipation proclamation. So what are we going to do about it this morning? May I suggest three things that I need to do and maybe you need to do? Number one, it has to start with the struggle that we know is there, every single one of us. 1 John 1:9, we got to confess our sin. If we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We got to do that and then believe that. And we've been talking the last couple of Sundays about God's great grace in that regard. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Start there. God, I'm sorry. I confess my sin, and thank you for it. Number two, if you look back at Romans 6, verse 13, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Change your behavior. You need a new habit, God is saying. Don't fall into the old rut and the routine. Do not go on presenting yourself, letting this happen week after week, day after day, as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to him. Confess it. Change your habits. And third, Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be different. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently that you may prove what God's desire for you was and always is. Good and acceptable and perfect. How wonderful, how free to live that way. I want that. God, I need that. I act so defeated day after day. I'm just in that rut, and I'm just turning around and around and around. I never seem to get beyond that and over that, and I bring it up to you so much, and I hate it, and yet I keep doing it. And I need your power and your grace to win. I don't want sin to be mastery over me again. How freeing it would be to pray tomorrow morning and every morning this week, "Dear Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I confess my sin. I am your child, free and depending on your power now today. Therefore, Jesus, this is your day to be lived out your way. And when I face my first temptation, which will be at any moment, I will present myself to you and claim the strength and the power and the promise you gave me to handle it. Sin will have no authority over me. It will not run my life today. Amen." Amen. That's what I should pray every day. God's grace is so wonderful. God's grace is so freeing. We don't have to be slaves of sin anymore. We can choose to be slaves of Jesus. But we all know the temptation is to not believe that, not realize that, and think about it next Sunday again. After we've struggled another whole week about stuff in our lives and we're so disappointed, that's going to be a struggle. It is, every day. It just is that way. But God says you don't have to be a slave to it, Romans 6. It should not have mastery over you. You can beat it. You don't have to serve that old master any longer who wants to trip you up with the wrong thoughts every morning when you wake up. Our new master wants to lead us, think the right thing. So this morning, before we go, we're going to take a moment to do those three things. Confess your sin. If we will confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all of our sin, all of it. Is that great? God says, I love doing this. It's my grace. I love this. Come to me. Talk to me. We're going to talk to Him here in a moment. Thank you, Father. Now believe that He forgave you. And then let's change the habits tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, change some habit. And stop presenting the members of our body as instruments of sin and letting the old master win again. God, I have your grace in my heart and my life. I will not do that. Instead, number three, I will present myself as a living sacrifice to you. I fall before you. This is your day. Well, if we could just have a success today about that, it'd be a real victory, wouldn't it? Because it would show that it works. And it would just be valuable for tomorrow. And instead of us living this week like we're defeated and everybody else is in control of us and the devil himself is leading all those efforts, we are more than conquerors through Him. Greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. You need not have that kind of control. Let's all give it over to Him in prayer. Let's bow in prayer. And I'm going to ask you right now where you are to talk with God for a moment about what has come to your mind as we've read this scripture. What is that habit that is so hard to break? What is that sin that is so easy to return to? What is that which is so ugly and so wrong and so upsetting, and yet I don't seem to know what to really do about it? right now, I'll give you a moment for us to confess that sin. Father, hear us right now. And Father, step number two, we will change our habits. We do not want to go on presenting ourselves as instruments of sin this week. But to claim your power and your ability to live through us and your grace. Hear us now as we design a new habit. And Father, third, we, according to Romans 12, present ourselves as living sacrifices. We're able to do that this morning. We're here before you. We humble ourselves before our perfect, holy God, our Father in heaven. We present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy. It's our spiritual service of worship. It's what we ought to do. Enable us not to be conformed to the things of the world and the voices around us and the pressures that we will feel today, tomorrow, but be different. Choose to be different. Choose to be victorious. And hear our words right now, claiming victory. God, we claim your grace. We claim your power to rule in our lives today. We thank you for the promises that you have given us that we read so often and live so seldom. Help us realize it's there for the taking. We claim that power. We claim that grace. Thank you. Live in us this day with that power, so that the rest of this day and tomorrow we're not slaves to sin again. Instead, we choose to love and serve you. Help us believe that's possible. You said it is. Then we should live in it. We've been emancipated. We've been freed from the control of sin in our lives. Give us a victory individually. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.